Okay, this is Henry Harlow here, and I'm on the line today with Florida Attorney Sam Massini, and I'm here to learn some things about paternity issues in the state of Florida. Attorney Sam Massini is going to educate me a little bit about that, and I'm imagining that's why you're here, otherwise you wouldn't be listening to this recording. So, Sam, could you tell us a little bit about some of the things we need to know, answers for us on paternity issues in Florida?
Yes, Henry, thanks. I understand that dealing with paternity and your children, it's an emotional time. I've been there. The kids are involved. I want you to know that the firm will be there for you all through your case. The first question usually is, are you in fact the father of the child? We do men's rights here, and when it comes to paternity, most if not all our clients are fathers. And I get a lot of times, the male believes that he's the father and that they're sure of that. And I explain to them that this is going to be the one time that you're going to have an opportunity to dispute that. Once there's a judgment issued that you are, in fact, the father, if you allege you're the father and they admit that that's true, then you're kind of the father until this child, is 18. You have a lot of responsibilities that you, especially child support, that you're going to have to pay. So I've had clients that have come in and they were sure that they were, in fact, the father. I had one with had two children, and I kind of nudged him to get DNA testing, and he didn't want it, and finally nudged him enough, and we did DNA testing, and it turned out that both children weren't his. So it's important at the outset to get that issue out of the way and first make sure that you are the father of the children. A lot of ways to establish paternity now in Florida. You have to remember back that you signed the birth certificate, and if you did at the hospital, they probably had you sign an affidavit. Now, if you did sign the birth certificate and sign that affidavit, paternity was established. Now, you can overcome the presumption that you are, in fact, the father by going to court and asking for DNA testing.
So you're not, like, stuck just because you signed that piece of paper?
You're kind of stuck. The only way out is to prove at that point that the child isn't yours. A lot of fathers also, what they do, Henry, is they register in the Florida putative father registry. And once the child, if you think a child's yours, you can access that registry and you can put that information in there, that this particular person had a child and you believe you're the father of that child. Another important part of it is, when was the last time that you actually lived with the mother, if you've ever lived with her? So that will come into effect and play a part in the paternity case that's eventually filed in regards to child support. The court can award retroactive child support going back up to 24 months. So if you moved out and you're not living with the mother and that's been a period of 18 months, say, a court can go back retroactively 18 months and add up child support for those 18 months. Also, a court can award any medical costs, for the mother that she wound up paying to have the child. So that's another cost that the court can add on and have you pay back. So there's a lot involved when you're dealing with these paternity actions. You have to realize that a lot of these children are very young, possibly only a year old or so, and you have financial responsibility for another possibly 17 years. So the first thing you need to do is get the paternity issue resolved so that you can deal with some of these other issues. Once that's set and you are, in fact, found to be the father of the child, then you get, rights under the law. And men's rights, they've expanded on them. We fought hard over the last few years, and they keep expanding on those rights. There's no more custody in Florida or visitation. Visitation is a term that is used when somebody's in prison and people are coming to see them. So now there's no more primary residential parent. We've got time sharing and parenting plans. Now, time sharing is how you and the mother are going to share time with the child and how you're going to work that out. Sometimes one parent gets to spend more time with a child than another because one of the parents works nights or has a weird schedule for work and they're not available all the time. The other part of it is a parenting plan. And parenting plans come in all shapes and sizes depending on the age of the children. We've had parenting plans that dealt with what doctor they're going to see, what schools they're going to go to, if they're going to go to college or not. I've had a plan where they discussed whether or not the children were going to be able to get tattoos and at what age. So you can get really detailed in there. And the more detailed you get, I think it cuts down on disagreements later on as to how you're going to raise your children. The other big issue in paternity cases is child support. Like I discussed before, this is a responsibility that's going to be in place until the children emancipate. Now, kids can emancipate if they go into the military, if they become self-supporting, if they get married, and child support, of course, would stop, God forbid, if they were to pass away. But, you have to realize that a lot of times when these cases are filed without attorneys, financial affidavits are filed and proper deductions aren't made in those financial affidavits. So the bottom line, the net income that's available for child support calculations, child support is calculated through guidelines in Florida. You make X amount of dollars, you pay X amount of dollars in child support, and depending on how many children there are, that goes up with more children. So you have to be careful, and I think the financial affidavit in these cases is one of the most important documents that will get filed, especially if you're self-employed. So another important aspect of it is the imputed income. A lot of times the father works and the mother doesn't. But under the law, you're allowed to impute income to the mother in an amount equal to what the mother is able to earn in her career or whatever job she had previously, or a job based on their education or whatever. So, if you don't do that, then you'll wind up paying more child support than you're supposed to. And once it's set, you have to prove a substantial change in circumstances and that it's in the best interest of the child. So, these things, once they're set, they're very difficult to change. So it's important to get it right the first time. And what happens, Henry, in a lot of these paternity cases is they're filed on behalf of the state through DOR, and they just deal with child support. So, for instance,
DOR, what does that stand for?
DOR is the Department of Revenue.
Okay.
And they'll get involved if the mother has applied for any state benefits. For instance, the mother has gone to the state for food stamps, for Medicaid insurance for the children, some housing allowance, or whatnot. And once the state gets involved and is starting to pay some type of benefit on behalf of the children, they want to get repaid. So they'll go after the parent that doesn't have the children in their care to get child support to pay the state back for the benefits that the children are receiving from the state. Now, when that DOR case is filed, DOR doesn't care about your rights as a parent and your wanting to see your children. They're just interested in dollars. And they're only going to go after child support. What we do in those cases is we open up our own circuit court case and we request that you receive all your rights, your time sharing rights, the right to a parenting plan, and we address the child support in that circuit court case. Another thing you need to be careful of when the Department of Revenue is involved is administrative child support. What they can do now in Florida is send you a letter that they want to do child support administratively. That means you don't go to court. You don't have a fair hearing. And a lot of times people get these letters and they think, oh, it's a letter from this department. It has nothing to do with the court. And they disregard them or even discard them without carefully reading them. You need to read them carefully because in those letters, they're going to set up time frames for you to do certain things. They're going to start contacting your employer to find out exactly how much money you're earning, and then they can set child support based on that information that they received without you ever going in front of a judge. Your employer will receive one day an income deduction order, and they'll start taking money out of your check. Eventually, an order will get entered based on the administrative process. And it's not through circuit court. It's through an administrative judge. So you really need to be careful and make sure that your rights are protected. And you need to get all these rights protected and do it right the first time so you don't have to keep going back to court.
My goodness. That sounds a little frightening, that DOR kind of process.
It is. There's a lot of fathers that wind up paying support for children that aren't even theirs. And it's very, very difficult later on, once that order's in place and that judgment comes out that you are the father, to turn that around. So it's important not to take that lightly.
What kind of expense are you talking about to have the DNA test done? Is that an expensive thing, an inexpensive thing?
To get the DNA testing done is usually $300 to $400, depending on who you go to. And usually what we'll do is agree at the outset that cost is split between the parents. And what I like to do, Henry, as well, is if I have a father that's adamant that the child isn't his, I'll ask the judge to enter an order that if the child's his, he'll pay for it, and if it's not, the mother pays for the testing. So that's a protection in there, so he doesn't have to be out of pocket maybe $200, and he knows that this child isn't his. There's a lot of mothers out there, that accuse 3, 4, 5 different men are the fathers, and none of them turn out to be the actual fathers. So the mothers kind of know who they've been with and who they've slept with.
So they're kind of looking for the one that is the father. They don't know exactly which one. They just have an idea, so they kind of hunt for the right one by going after many.
Yeah, and it's a process of elimination for them. And a lot of times what they'll do, Henry, they'll go after the deep pockets. They'll go after somebody that's employed, gainfully employed, is making a nice salary, and the hope is they don't challenge the paternity, and they wind up paying child support for 16, 17 years in some cases, and the child isn't even theirs.
Well, it's got to be a messy process for sure. In terms of what does it cost from in terms of the attorney fees and things like that, pales in comparison to what it would cost to pay for, you know, 16, 17, 18 years, et cetera. But what kind of costs are people looking at if they have to defend or, you know, get this process taken care of?
Well, it all depends, Henry, on how amicable the parents can be. I have paternity cases where they agreed to do paternity testing. We get that out of the way, and you have two parents that are looking for the best interest of their child. You have fathers that are hands-on. They've been taking them to doctors, doing homework, baths, you know, the whole nine yards, and they're very involved with their children. And we're able to sit down and put together a time-sharing parenting plan, figure out child support, and then file a parental settlement agreement that includes a time-sharing plan and parenting plan, and it can be done through an initial retainer. Our initial retainers are $2,500. We get $500 for costs. That's to pay for the filing fee and to have the mother served if we have to. If we don't use all the costs, that gets returned. But usually we're able to get these cases done with that initial retainer. On the other hand, sometimes paternity is challenged. That takes time and money. You have to go into court to get an order. Other times, the time-sharing schedules, you know, who's going to spend more time with the children. Sometimes mothers don't want the fathers in the children's lives at all. They only want to collect child support. And we get into one of these battles trying to get the father the time that they're entitled to. I tell clients, Henry, I don't have a crystal ball in those kind of cases to tell you exactly how much your final bill is going to be. You know, it all depends on how quickly we can get the other side to come around to the reality that this particular father is a good parent, that he loves his kids, and is, you know, can parent the children just as well as she can. So,
makes sense.
Yes.
Well, okay. Is there anything else you think we need to know in this this area of paternity, or you think we pretty much wrapped this one up?
Yeah, well, these are just the basic answers to some of their questions. If they want to get more answers, you know, based on specific facts, they can call the office anytime to set up a free no-obligation consultation. The number here is 239-829-0166, and I'd be more than happy to discuss their case with them.
Well, makes sense to me. I just don't see how anybody has much to lose by, and they'll definitely know more after they talk with you. So with no cost and no obligation, I sure would do that. Well, okay. Thanks very much, Sam.
Thank you, Henry.